This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on back here with Emma Boster? And we talked last a long time ago, in a sense, it wasn't that long ago, but things were very different for your band, for you. You know, that was before you released this huge album, your debut LP. You guys toured with like a bunch of tours. We're going to go over like your favorite moments of those tours and stuff. But my question that I ended the last interview with was, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it. Now, in that interview, you mentioned that you have a lot of them. So you said next time we chat, you'll give me info on another one and you'll show off that scar. So the first one you said was like on the forehead and you got it at a museum.
Correct.
So yeah, let's hear about another one.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I have two identical scars on my knees from two totally different accidents. One was from riding a bike and one was from playing basketball, which just proves how clumsy I am and how I am not meant to be athletic in any way, shape, or form. I cut the tip of my pinky finger off once and they super glued it back on.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I don't know if you probably can't tell, but yeah, so that is funny. Oh my gosh. I have one on my knee that's kind of fresh because my friend Caroline had picked me up and accidentally dropped me. And so I named it after them. So I have a scar named Caroline on my knee if they're listening. Hello, Caroline. But yeah.
Right on. Well, thanks for humoring that question. So it's funny you mentioned basketball, because if you follow Emma on Twitter, Half Fits Hardcore and you know, like stuff, band promotion and whatever. And then the other half is you tweeting about basketball. So were you a baller, or is this a recent thing? Did you grow up a fan of basketball, and did you play basketball?
I really did. I grew up a fan of basketball. Awesome. I grew up a Los Angeles Lakers fan, actually, which I'm somewhat ashamed to say now. But, you know, during the Kobe and Shaq era, that was what really got me to love the sport.
Yeah.
And then I played when I was younger, but I wasn't very good. And actually, so after the pandemic had started and I lost a lot of my hobbies due to live music not being available, watching basketball was pretty much all that I did.
Yeah.
So my love for basketball has really been rekindled in the last couple of years. But
awesome. Right on. I just bought NBA 2K22. So I'm going to go play that on the Switch when we're done here. So
nice. Awesome.
I am a fan of, I think my love of basketball like stopped in the 90s. So I could send you down a rabbit hole of like, you know, Tony Kukoc and Dennis Rodman facts. But aside from that, I wanted to mention that. So you're in Portland. My great uncle, he had a barbershop, and back in the early 90s, he used to cut all the Portland Trailblazers hair, like Clyde Drexler and all those guys. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Clyde Drexler is like, that's a top three.
Absolutely.
Player. So that's awesome.
So name drop my great uncle. Okay, so the last month for you has probably been very strange. So you go from the highest highs of touring with the Acacia Strain, you know, out on this huge tour, and then you come back and you're quarantined because you get COVID on Christmas. So you go from the highest high of going out on tour and like killing it, and then what was that like? You know, that the duality of those two things. What was that like for you?
Right. Well, I mean, the ending of the tour was pretty sad, you know, because we didn't get to say goodbye properly and whatever. And then we had like a 55-hour drive home. So
where were you at?
We were in Worcester, damn, Massachusetts. So we did one coast to the other.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, it's not fortunate in any way, shape, or form that I did get COVID, but I definitely did enjoy my isolation period. And I feel like if there was any time for me to do it, it would have been after touring almost nonstop for 3 months, because I really needed this
space.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But then there's, you know, Christmas, when you spend Christmas alone. So what was your quarantine Christmas meal?
Oh, what did I eat for Christmas? Probably, my mom got me a Grubhub gift card or DoorDash, one of those. So I ordered Thai food like every other day. I probably ate Thai food, but, I don't necessarily remember. I eat a lot of the same thing almost every day. So it was probably that.
All right. Well, you're back to full strength. You're back at it. And I was curious about how things have changed for you since the last time we've talked. So, I mean, there's the things I mentioned already. You guys toured a bunch, you know, but like the album in your personally, how much are things different than the last time we talked?
So different. I mean, the last time we talked, we were really just ramping up and had been working on promotion.
Yeah, you couldn't even give me a date of when the album was out. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like, can you give me a date? You're like, nah, it's coming up shortly. It'll be up by the end of the year. So I was like, all right.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, then everything has changed. I mean, we could not, I never really expected it to do as well as it did. I mean, I guess I just didn't really know what to expect because we had never released an LP, but it just really feels like we had hoped to really elevate into like a new level of band with the release of the LP and doing touring full time for the last quarter of the year. And it truly did happen that way. Oh, yeah. So it feels like a totally different experience to have under my belt at this point.
I mean, you guys are all over Revolver, Sirius XM, Liquid Metal. You're all over the place. You're getting features. And by the way, I need to mention, I kind of just jumped right into it, but the album is called Fragments of a Bitter Memory. It's out now on Sharptone Records. You could get it on CD, on vinyl. Personally, I got it on CD so I could play it in my car. I know I'm one of those weirdos that, you know, likes actually still having CDs, but, you know, there are a couple of us out there. But so before we, the last time we chatted, you mentioned Sharptone Records. I wasn't familiar with Sharptone, but I'm very familiar with Nuclear Blast. Is Sharptone a subsidiary of Nuclear Blast?
Correct. Yes, it is.
Okay. That's cool that you guys are like one of the first big bands to really, you know, start this Sharptone kind of project. What was the, do you know what the idea behind Sharptone was as kind of like a side sister label of Nuclear Blast?
Just to kind of, well, Sean, who founded Sharptone, he used to do Sumerian. And yeah, so he was working for a lot of the bands that we are influenced by in the mid 2000s, and put out a lot of really great releases. And so his whole idea was to kind of like bring back that metalcore. It's a very metalcore record label.
Yeah.
So like Bleeding Through is on Sharptone, and people, you know, I feel like we're a little bit of a dark horse on the label. But yeah, it's just metalcore.
That's cool. Well, I mean, you know, to have the machine of Nuclear Blast and then Sharptone teamed up like that, that's a very, have you been able to visit their office? I went down to their, a couple of years ago, my friend Roy does their, he handles all of the merchandising for in-store retailers. So he gave me a tour, and it's like a really, really cool office down there in Culver City. Have you been there yet?
Wow. No, I have not. Would absolutely love to. And I'm sure Sharptone's headquarters are also, they just relocated to Nashville, if I'm
mistaken. Never mind then.
So, yeah, but I mean, either way, I would love to. Have that experience of, you know, feeling like you're in the space of the label, you know?
Right. You're like, this is actually a thing. I knew it was a real, okay. So so we're talking about, you mentioned the kind of an homage to like the metalcore stuff. So my question to you, if we were going back, you know, 15, 20, let's say 15 years, would Dying Wish be an Ozzfest band or a Warped Tour band? If you had to pick one.
That's a crazy question. I want to say both, because I feel like part of our goal as a band is to be able to fit diversely on so many different bills.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I would love to do a Warped Tour personally. Yeah. Ozzfest is like, you know, I feel like that would be Dying Wish in 5 years from now. Sure. Dying Wish now would be Warped Tour for sure.
And I mean, it would be kind of fitting, because the last time we chatted, you said that your first band t-shirts you ever got were from Warped Tour with your mom.
Correct. Yeah. So,
there you go. And then you could sell, you know, t-shirts to the next Emma, you know? So, okay. So what were some of your highlights of the year? Because you guys got to play, you know, Furnace Fest. You guys got to tour with Acacia Strain, Motionless and White. Am I missing anything? Were there any tours that I'm missing out on? Acacia Strain, Motionless and White. Was there anything else?
We did our two headliners in the Northwest. So Tacoma and Portland.
With Dead Heat. That's right.
Correct.
Awesome. So what were some of the highlights? What were some of your favorite places you visited and whatnot?
Well, the last show that we played was in Worcester, and we played the small room upstairs at the Palladium, but, seeing the room downstairs at the Palladium and just looking at this awesome room where, you know, Killswitch filmed their DVD, and like just all of, you could feel the history in the building, and it just like was, really inspiring as far as like what this band wants to achieve. And hopefully, I'm sure one day, you know, if we keep working the way that we are, we will play there. Another huge memory is like, honestly, our hometown show in Portland, like just blew our expectations out of the water.
That's good, because sometimes when a band goes out, they come back and, you know, people won't really care. You know, my friend, I won't say their band, but he'll go out on tour and he loves it. And then he comes back and he says, dude, we get no hometown love. So that's awesome that, you know, you guys got a great reaction in Portland.
Yeah, it was very heartwarming. One last thing, too. We played Texas for the first time. We had never played Texas before. And those San Antonio was awesome.
With Kubla Khan?
So, yes.
That must have been pretty awesome seeing them in Texas.
Right. It was phenomenal. Shout out.
Cool. Well, who did you guys bro down with the most? Like, who did you make really good friends with?
Probably Kubla Khan, or the Acacia Strain and Orthodox, honestly, like that whole tour, like, every day, just like feeling so, loved and, you know, such a, like a friendship vibe, you know, it was really, really awesome. We definitely made some lifelong friendships with those people.
And on the Acacia Strain tour, they were doing specific albums. And so I saw a clip of you getting to do the Jamie Josta part during Beast, which is huge. You're doing the Josta part. So we got Emma Josta here, dude. That's kind of weird to say, but that's awesome. That's badass.
I love it. Like, my last name is Boster, so you could say Bosta.
Yeah, there you go. Know. Are you going to get your own pasta?
Oh my goodness, you know, and a podcast.
Penny Pasta? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Boster podcast. Oh my God. I'm going to stop before I get too weird here. So, okay. So how was Furnace Fest? That looked really fun. And that was during a time where, I that was like right as shows for me, like, were starting to come back, and I kind of had FOMO. Had a couple friends go down there, and I was like watching their clips, you know, of all these different shows. And I was like, man, I wish I was there. I definitely had FOMO that weekend. What was Furnace Fest like for you?
Crazy. It was our first festival that we've ever played that wasn't like a hardcore fest, you know? Mm-hmm. So biggest stage we've ever played on, biggest crowd we've ever played in front of, earliest load-in we've ever done. So it was definitely like a new experience, but mm-hmm. we had a blast. And being able to see bands like Comeback Kid play to like 2,000 people, and like Turnstile and Motionless played to a huge crowd, and Killswitch and Knocked Loose. It was just like, you know, it was a little overwhelming. I feel like Fest can feel that way for me sometimes, sure. But it's hard to take it all in, but really just like a really eye-opening experience.
Who had the set of the weekend in your opinion?
Comeback Kid.
Comeback Kid? Nice.
Yes. Yeah. It was awesome.
That's our crowd. That's the Comeback Kid crowd for sure. Right there. Mm-hmm. When you're on tour with Motionless and White, that's very, I would imagine, very different than like the Acacia Strain, because Motionless and White is like a big production. That's like a rock and roll tour. Was that like a whole different experience for you to be a part of like a huge rock and roll production?
Yes. Again, inspiring to watch that band just have so many people singing their lyrics back at them, mm-hmm. you know, just like, just Chris Motionless, the singer, he would just drop the mic sometimes and just let the crowd sing. And like that, I have chills just thinking about it. That was awesome. But yeah, the big production, the last night they did like confetti and cryo. Cool. So that was,
what's cool cryo?
So cryo is like, it's basically like haze that shoots up.
Cool.
You take like hydrogen tanks and like hook it up, and it just like shoots fog up into the air.
Yeah.
Kind of like pyro, but not with fire.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So, I already kind of mentioned that you guys were getting so much press for this album, you know, with Revolver, and was there anything that kind of like, you kind of had to pinch yourself? Was there any moment when you got like a notification, you know, and you're like, oh my God, we got like an article in this press or something like that? Was there any moments like that? And specifically, which was it?
Right. Well, I mean, Revolver has just been writing for us for such a long time.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like we do owe a lot of our success to them for, you know, covering us so much.
Definitely championing you guys a lot. Yeah.
Right. But we've been, I have the copy right here. We've been printed in Revolver twice now in the last year. So
with the Turnstile cover, that's cool.
I had to get this when I saw it at Barnes and Noble.
Awesome.
The other one is Knotfest. I did like a Knotfest interview on their Twitch stream and they have published a couple articles about us. So that's really cool too.
So do you think that Corey Taylor is her dying wish?
Well, we are going on tour with Vended, which
his son's band.
Yes. So I wonder if he'll come to a show.
There you go. Maybe you could do a part on Spit It Out, or, you know, maybe you could cover Wait and Bleed and he could jump up.
Wow. That would be crazy.
All right. So let's go with that then. If you had to cover a nu metal band as Dying Wish, if you had to cover a nu metal band, and you know, I'd say the first Slipknot record's pretty nu metal, then they went just straight metal. But if you were to, you know, if you had to do like a nu metal band with like a Korn or like a, you know, any of that stuff, well, who would you cover?
I gotta be honest, I'm not a huge nu metal fan, but I do really like Iowa by Slipknot. However, I've heard people categorize Deftones as nu metal, which, like, I get it, because it's really hard to even figure out what they are because they pioneered such a part of the genre.
I think they moved past that.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, if I could personally choose, I would do a Deftones song, but probably something like Dying Wish as a whole would choose like an Iowa Slipknot song.
I was curious about the time that you got press, but they used the photo of Heist from high school. So where did they get that? First off, how did they find that? Where did they get that? And what was your reaction? Okay, so like, long story short, this thing, they like tweet about you, or what was even the news story? Was it?
It was some like really small Facebook press outlet that did like our top 20 female vocalists of 2021, which is like, I already have a problem with that.
Sure.
In a way, I mean, you know, I think it's good to recognize, but you know, like, let's, you know, we're not competing against each other, and you know, anyways, so they used photos and they were like, here's our top 20. And Courtney LaPlante had a wonderful press photo. And Connie from Sea of Space Cowboy had a super cute press photo. And they used my senior photo that honestly, I didn't even use. I had mine retaken. But somehow the person who took the photo put that on a blog like 10 years ago. And this person Googled my name and scrolled through. I think we counted. It was like 18 pictures that they scrolled through of me to find that one. And they used my high school photo. I honestly just thought it was pretty funny. I wasn't really offended by it at all. I thought it was humor.
So, okay. So I'm, you know, not trying to, you know, kind of poke at it, but I'm curious about, so like about, you know, 15, no, maybe 12, 10, even to like 10 or probably even 5 years ago, I would see flyers for like, you know, so-and-so presents the sexiest women in rock tour, you know, and like the women in rock tour. And it would be like, you know, so-and-so band. You can imagine what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to name any bands, but you know what I'm talking about. Very European, you know, rock bands. So, right. But obviously things have progressed and things have changed and things have moved in a strong direction, but there are still people who will, you know, kind of classify it as like female fronted rock and roll, like best female fronted bands and stuff. So, you know, I don't want to speak for you. What is your issue with that? I can imagine. I just don't want to speak for you.
So a lot of the conversation just needs to be had. But a lot of times it's brought up like, oh, Dying Wish should go on tour with Ginger and Sea Space Cowboy and Spirit Box. And it's like, while yes, like that would be a crazy tour, like a bunch of big bands, sonically it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the only reason why you're putting us all together is because of the faces of the band all having, you know, our gender expression similarly. And it just feels like it's furthering a marginalization where, you know, there's metal and then there's girl metal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like we are taken seriously. It feels like we have a much higher standard that we have to live up to. And I mean, this is, again, like people will say it, and I don't think that it's worth, being angry over, but I just think that we need to continue to have the conversation and educate people as why it could be harmful for artists like myself that make heavy music to be categorized just not by our talent or the kind of music that we make, but just by our gender.
Well, I'll do my part in making it sound ridiculous when I call out bands, and I'm going to call them male-fronted metal bands, and just we'll see how ridiculous it sounds when I do that on the radio show. I'll say, that was Dying Fetus, a male-fronted death metal band, and we'll just see how, you know, how long it takes for people to get what I'm pointing at. So, exactly. You sing a lot on the record. Maybe not a ton, but there are points where you sing. You have a great voice.
Thank you.
When did you discover that you could sing like that? Have you always been able to sing?
I've always sang. Ever since I was old enough to talk and walk, I was walking around the house singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Always, when I was younger, it was my dream to be on American Idol. And I almost did go audition one time, but I'm really glad I didn't, because... I don't think it would have been a worthy experience, but
I think the outtake videos would be pretty cool, though.
Oh my God, could you imagine how funny they would be now? But yeah, I did choir all growing up and everything, and I always wanted to be in a band. I just never knew if it would be singing or screaming, and now I get to do both, which is really cool.
That is awesome. Were you nervous at all to be able to do that live, like the screaming and the singing? I've seen bands, and again, I'm not going to say, but I've seen bands where they scream amazing and then they're about to try to hit that singing, and it's like woof. But where right. Are you nervous about when you do it live?
It took a minute for me to get a hang of it. I mean, singing has always come pretty naturally, but screaming, I definitely have. I did battle the longevity of my voice for the first tour we did, and this last tour, I feel like I was really able to nail it down.
Cool.
I just think it's just practice, and it comes pretty easily. It's like there's different kinds of voices that you use when you sing, like a chest voice and a head voice and falsetto and all that. So it's somewhat similar. Like if you practice switching from all of those different techniques, it's pretty similar to switching from singing to screaming as well.
Who do you picture in your head when you scream? Like, who do you want to sound like?
That's interesting. I've never really pictured anyone, but myself, I guess if there were going to be anyone, it would be Howard, from Killswitch. I just, I recently have been playing around with like the higher pitch, and feel really, really comfortable there. And so, I don't know, he's just is such a powerhouse. And so I just like picture that kind of strength and go from there.
Have you listened at all to his project with Jared Dines? It's pretty cool.
I have not.
Yeah, he did a EP. He's doing music with that YouTuber Jared Dines. It sounds like old school Killswitch.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Isn't Jared Dines from the Northwest?
Yeah, he's from Tacoma.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Well, I will have to check it out.
Absolutely. So right on. So what's next for Dying Wish 2022? You guys have a tour planned, or?
We do. We're going on tour with Code Orange and Loathe and Vendead.
Right. That's
in
huge.
April. It's huge. I'm so excited to go on tour with Code Orange. I mean, I Am King is high up there for me for one of my favorite metal releases in the last 10 years. So that's really cool. And we have more planned that, you know, we'll see as far as, you know, COVID and everything goes. But we have more plans for the summer. And then we're also supposed to do Europe in October with Lionheart and Terror. But again, we'll see, COVID permitting. So
yeah. It's got to be one of those, like, you know, hope we'll plan it, we'll see it, and then we'll just cross your fingers, right? And just,
that's all you can do.
Yeah. So my last question for you, you've been on tour, you experienced a ton of different states. I'm sure you've met a lot of cool people, been in a lot of really cool communities, seen some really awesome places. If you had to tomorrow to move to a different state in the United States, what state would you move to?
Tennessee. I would move to Nashville.
Cool. What was it about Nashville? Is just
I lived with someone who just moved to Nashville recently, and they love it. And every time I go, it does remind me of home.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's got like a fun, quirky, artsy vibe, kind of like Portland does. And the music, and the opportunities, and I just feel like it's somewhere I would really fit in and like to live. So.
And it's Sharptown right there.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, any final words before we let you go?
No, I mean, thank you so much for having me on and for talking about the record. And it's been really like slow for me the last couple weeks. So it's nice to, you know, do some Dying Wish related things and have a reminder of what I love to do so much. So
right on. Well, good to see you. And hopefully I'll be able to catch Dying Wish when you guys come through with Code Orange. You guys are going to be playing at the Crocodile.
Crocodile, never been there.
Iconic venue. And they just got a new location, so it's beautiful.
Right. That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear it.
I'll see you there, Emma. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.